gorgeous day here in the Bay Area. I think summer's finally here. It's about time. It's been a long winter. And for all of you listening, I appreciate you staying next to the radio rather than being out and enjoying the beautiful weather. So, you know, here we are, slaving away over a hot microphone to bring you information you're not going to get anywhere else. I have, of course, Rob Taylor in the studio with me. He's kind of a permanent fixture now.
I was going to say, I'm being held kidnapped, okay? All right, so call the... No, I'm just kidding.
No, the reason I keep Rob around is I figure if there's any wacko libs out there that are coming after me, I'll just shove Rob out in front and let them deal with him.
Yeah, I thought you invited me here to talk, but you actually invited me here to be a human shield. So
You got it. You got it.
Whatever I got to do, you know?
And we have a very special guest. We have Lauren Spivak with us. Lauren is an economist, written several books. And you got a presentation tonight, right?
Yeah, I do, in North Bend.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background, Lauren, so that the listeners know who's talking to them.
Well, sure. I go by the nickname the Free Market Warrior.
Right.
Because I travel the country coast to coast, north to south, and talk to conservative groups. Now I got to change. I got to say normal groups.
Normal people, yeah.
I talk to normal people.
Yeah, we don't...
About free market economics. I try to help people understand the logic of economics. And so I do seminars. I have a seminar called Economic Literacy.
Right.
Where I try to help people understand just, you know, the facts of life of economics. And I just did it twice in Oregon.
Oh.
One in Hillsboro, and I forgot where the other one was.
How did that one in Hillsboro turn out?
I think it turned out very nicely.
All right, because I heard a lot of good feedback from that. I know a lot of people. That was the Republicans who had you up there.
That's correct.
Yeah, there was I was at an event just recently, and they were talking about that, and they were really. So if folks, you know, we're going to be having Lauren tonight at the North Bend Library at 7 o'clock, and this would be a great place to come and see him. You know, this is something we never get in Coos County. We never get an economist out here.
No, you know? We really don't. And, you know, I think this is particularly timely right now because over the past couple of weeks, there's been a national movement, it seems, to glorify the wonderfulness of socialism. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's getting traction with young people because they have no point of reference. They don't understand that socialism has been an abject failure every time at every place it's ever been tried.
It's like the villain in a horror movie.
Yeah,
no
basically.
No matter how many times you kill it, it just comes back again in the next sequel.
Freddy.
Yeah, that's
Freddy. Yeah, it's Freddy.
You think you got rid of him last time, but he's coming back.
Well, you know, I've looked back at this, and it seems like it's a generational thing. It seems like each successive generation becomes enthralled with socialism, and a lot of that's due to the fact that the twits we've got teaching our young people in school are predominantly socialists themselves. If you look at public employee unions, you know, labor unions are socialist organizations. They have nothing whatsoever to do with capitalism.
And particularly the government.
Unions. Public employees and teacher
unions.
Yeah,
those are the worst. In the private sector, you've got a kind of a balance where real life comes into it. You know, you're not going to get more than the profit that your company's making. You know, that's a ceiling.
See, that
in government, there's no ceiling at all. You can get
No, because all they got to do is buy themselves some tame politicians and steal more money out of the government, out of the people's pockets to support their socialist programs.
What was the name of that school bond they just passed? That's what they do. They pass one of those great school bonds
every
time they need money. It's grandma's out of a house.
But it's for the children.
Right, right.
Yeah, and here in Oregon, you know, what are we, fifth worst as far as graduation rates in the country?
Hey, that inched up this year, by the way.
Huh?
When I say that inched up a little bit, I mean it was just a small amount, but they were, you know, bugling their own horn over there.
Even though we've still got kids that, even the ones that graduate can't read and write. So,
And at best, they have no experience with anything. They've never done anything.
No, they haven't. And
somebody comes along and says, we're going to have free college and free health care and food and clothing. It'll all be free.
Yeah, it never occurs to them. Somebody's paying.
What a deal this is.
Free.
Why didn't anyone think of this before? Everything could have been free all along.
Well, and they talk about the evil rich, you know. Like it's rich people's fault because they get up in the morning, they go to work, they work all day. A lot of them get there early, they stay late, and that's how they ended up getting wealthy. But the people who don't want to do anything, they're jealous, and they want the people who work hard to give up what they work for some lowlife that sits on his butt and doesn't get a job and expects the rest of us to support him.
Yeah.
Is that a pretty good summation?
Yeah, it's a complete failure to understand what wealth is. It's not green pieces of paper that were printed yesterday.
No.
That's not wealth.
No, it isn't. And unfortunately, I don't think our schools are even teaching basic economics 101 anymore, because you talk to these young people, they don't have a clue.
The schools aren't really teaching anything anymore other than, you know, this kind of feel-good leftism.
They know how to put a condom on a cucumber, and they know that if they're not gay or transgendered, that there's something wrong with them. That's the kind of crap that they teach in the schools.
That they need to decide what gender they want to be.
Their
major objective in high school is to decide what gender they're going to be.
I guess it never occurred to anybody to look at their crotch to figure it out. That would be too simple.
Yeah, they don't look at manuals. User manuals aren't helpful for the kids these days.
No. Well, you've written some books here, Lauren. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your books?
Well, sure. My books are kind of unique and humorous, I suppose. My first is called The New Democrat. It's a parody history of the Obama years. Done as the Cat in the Hat.
The Cat in the Hat,
with Reed and Pelosi as Thing One and Thing Two.
It
humorously tells the story of the Obama years, all in rhyme, all like the Cat in the Hat. Salon.com called it the most twisted piece of conservative propaganda print matter out there.
Oh, that must be great.
So, you know, I get good reviews. That's important. And then my second book, which is probably going to be the most closely related to the talk that we're doing tonight in North Bend, is called The Gorax. It's an anti-environmentalist parody based on The Lorax, only it stars Al Gore as the Lorax character.
Right.
And so it's The Gorax. And then my latest is about the election, done as The Wizard of Oz, with Bill as the Wizard and Hillary as the Wicked Witch. It's called The Wizard of Iz. And it's even got a cowardly rhino.
Oh, okay.
I've learned to pause for 2 seconds after saying that as people figure it out.
Right.
And he's too. He suspects the Democrats are wrong, but he's too scared to do anything about it. He's looking for the courage to actually do something when he gets to Washington.
That sounds like half the Congress.
I was going to say, we could put almost a name on that rhino.
I could come up with several that would fit that.
That's a McCain rhino there, I think.
Yeah.
He's got everything but. And it's a good story. It starts when Dorothy's house lands on Obama, and she finds
couldn't happen to a nicer guy
in the land of the free lunchkins
who
have been living off the government for so long they've forgotten how to take care of themselves. So I try to present some serious social commentary, but in a fun, humorous sort of way.
Okay.
And it rhymes.
Now, being an economist, well, I'll tell you what, before I get into that. Oh, okay.
Oh, we're being waved off.
Yeah, we're being waved off. Being an economist, what's your view on, you know, every time you turn on TV and listen to talking heads, we're getting this crap about, oh, my God, the economy sucks. We're all going to die. The United States is going to collapse. Hardly a day goes by that you don't hear that nonsense. And yet, we've got the lowest unemployment in 40 years. We've got the lowest unemployment for blacks and Hispanics ever. And many areas, there's one Indiana town that's actually offering bonuses for young people to move there and take jobs because they don't have enough people. So how do the facts line up with the doom and gloom that we're hearing from the media.
Well, what I was hearing up until, you know, yesterday was that this positive economic growth we've seen the last year under Trump was actually all caused by Obama.
Well, that's what we're hearing all over.
It was a delayed reaction. You see, it was 8 years of 1% growth.
Right.
Which is the most anemic growth in the 250-year history of the United States of America, okay, for 8 years of Obama. But it was because his brilliant economic plans were all on a delayed effect, and Trump had to come in there, and then suddenly Obama's wonderful economy showed up, is what I've been hearing.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, the serious answer is that, and I, you know, I, if I may say, was talking about this throughout the Obama years, that one of the biggest advantages that the Republicans have, and the Democrats have some advantages too.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't
get me wrong. But one of the big advantages the Republicans have that they don't appreciate enough is they actually have a clue about how an economy works.
Right.
And so the Democrats come in there, you know, I don't doubt that Obama would have liked to have goosed up the economy a little bit more. It would have made his reelection a little bit surer.
Right.
It would have helped him keep the Congress, which he lost, you know, very quickly. But they don't have a clue. They don't know how to. The Republicans, at least on paper, have, you know, an understanding that if you stop regulating everybody into the ground and you cut taxes and you do common sense things like that, you'll get some economic growth. And so we're seeing the direct result of essentially two things. One is the tax cut, which is,
right,
by the way, an excellent tax cut. I like that tax cut more than you know.
Well, there are some other benefits of that that are now starting to show up. When they passed that, I remember all the pundits trampling each other to death in their efforts to get in front of TV cameras to explain to us how this was going to screw over the states. Yeah. And it came out, I was reading a survey that was done this morning. There are now 18 states, and probably more, they just haven't had time to research them, that are actually going to benefit from Trump's tax cuts. It's going to enrich their state treasuries, where we've been told that, oh, my God, this is going to decimate the states. Well, quite the opposite's true.
Well, the states it's going to decimate are states that deserve to be decimated.
New York, right, and California.
New York and California and Illinois, it couldn't happen to better states.
And Oregon, too.
To some degree. Well, what happened was because of the way the tax cuts set up, a lot of states tie their taxation to the federal taxation. And by tying it together, if you pay less federal tax, you actually pay less state tax as well.
Well, and also they cap the deductibility, which in states like California is a huge thing because you've got a lot of super rich people in California.
And New York and Illinois.
And the tax rate is, and their state tax rates are through the roof. And you can only claim, was it the first 10,000?
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, if you're Steven Spielberg, you know, the first 10,000.
That's chump change.
Is pocket lint.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing. But that's great. It's causing wealthy liberals in super left-wing states to pay more money, which is what I thought they wanted all along. They should be.
Well, yeah, right. Well,
why aren't they?
Yeah, the libs keep telling us we got to tax the rich.
The rich need to pay more taxes. So if you're a rich liberal in California, you should be jumping up and down with joy.
Absolutely.
That your taxes are being raised.
So Trump actually kept a promise, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they were worried about it, you know, him raising taxes on it. Well, now they've done it in those states, and they should be giving him credit for that, it sounds like.
And then the people in, you know, middle America, the normal people, if you will,
right,
got a tax cut. So Trump has done the impossible here. He's given everybody what they wanted.
Yeah.
He's given the rich liberals who wanted higher taxes,
right,
higher taxes, and the regular people who wanted lower taxes have gotten lower taxes. I mean, that's some genius.
It's
to make both sides happy.
The fly in the ointment there is the rich liberals want to tax rich people except for themselves.
Yes.
That's where the rub comes in, because we didn't think he was going to tax us. It's those other rich people he needs to tax.
Yeah, you know, they got to give to Hillary and all those charities, you know.
Oh yeah. Hey, we got to take a break here. We're on a little bit overtime. I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do that. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 541-267-2124. If you're outside the immediate calling area, you can even call toll-free at 800-507-5569. So if you got something on your mind, if you want to comment on the economy or comment on anything economic, give us a call, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
All right. The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y and Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny here at Far West Tire and Auto. Do you feel like you're constantly on the go? From daily commuting, dance recitals, and weekend adventures? I'm sure your tires have never let you down, but that much time on the road can cause some wear and tear on your tires. It might be time to consider upgrading to Nokians. With the 50,000-mile warranty on select Nokians, you can hit the road in style. So stop on by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Genucel right now is having their 50% off limited time sale. It's their half price clearance sale. And if you order Genucel to get rid of bags and puffiness under your eyes, you'll also get Chamonix's brand new Platinum Tan Enhancing Body Lotion. That's a free gift. Perfect hydration, tan, and protection to rejuvenate, hydrate, maintain that bright summer glow with a lotion unlike anything you can buy in any store. So sit back, relax, enjoy the beach with the best looking skin possible and no bags or puffiness under your eyes. They're gone. Everybody I know that's tried Genucel from Chamonix loves it, swears by it. Linda, Lauren, and so many others. Call now, 800-SKIN-509, 800-SKIN-509, guaranteed to work. In 12 hours, your money back, guaranteed, no risk to you. You'll also get the Platinum Tan Enhancing Body Lotion free while supplies last. And if you call now, shipping is free. It's 800-SKIN-509. It's the half-price summer clearance sale at Genucel.com. 1-800-SKIN-509 from our friends at Chamonix and Genucel.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss. Ken Fisher, founder and executive chairman of Fisher Investments.
We don't sell annuities. We'll never sell annuities. Most annuities have nosebleed-level fees, don't do what the customer thinks they do, have tremendous tax problems, are hard to get out of once you're in them, and are extremely confusing.
Don't let the sound of guaranteed income lead you to financial headache. Call now for your free report, Annuity Insights, and find out why legendary money manager Ken Fisher hates annuities. Call 1-800-770-3377 and see what you might be getting into.
Anything you want to do with annuities, there's a better way to do. If you have more than $500,000 to invest, talk to us.
Get your free report, Annuity Insights, and find out the 9 questions every annuity investor should ask. Call now, 1-800-770-3377. That's 1-800-770-3377.
There's a common assumption about identity theft. A lot of people believe it's just credit card fraud, but credit card fraud isn't the only form of identity theft. And if you're just protecting your identity by monitoring your credit and checking your bank statements, well, you could miss some forms of identity theft. Like, for example, your information being for sale on the dark web. That means somebody getting an online payday loan in your name, or even someone draining your 401k. Now, thank God there's LifeLock. Now, they use proprietary technology to detect and alert you to a wide range of identity threats. You have a problem, one of their U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. And we can't prevent all identity theft, monitor every transaction, but with LifeLock.com, you can see more than you'd see by just monitoring your credit. Join now, you get a 10% discount just by visiting LifeLock.com/Hannity, or just call 1-800-LifeLock, use the promo code Hannity. LifeLock.com/Hannity and save 10%.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I have in the studio with me Lauren Spivak. He's an economist. He's written several books, and he's got a presentation he's going to give tonight in North Bend, North Bend Library. But tell us a little bit about the presentation you're going to give tonight.
Sure. I was going to give a talk which I call Is Capitalism Pro-Life?
Okay.
And which is designed to be intriguing. And my basic thesis is that everything you've heard from environmentalists your entire life is wrong.
Well, but that's true enough.
What I try to do is address the underlying assumptions of the left. And they have a whole lot of assumptions that are wrong, and they don't like to talk about their assumptions. They like to assume their assumptions and just move on to what their proposed solution is. And if you want to win this argument, you have to identify and go after the underlying assumptions.
Right.
So we're going to be talking about why there is no such thing as overpopulation for humans.
Right.
The more people, the better. We're going to talk about how we're not going to run out of anything. In general, there's a whole history of this idea that somehow people are endangering the planet. And nothing could be perfect. Would be further from the truth. I think the planet is as safe as anything ever. It will outlive us all. I guarantee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, outlive us all.
Because it's been around 4.5 billion years and gone through a lot more stuff than we meager humans are able to inflict on it. So.
You know, I heard an incredible statistic on the program before us where they were talking about how. We only have developed or live in 4% of Oregon.
Right.
You know, that's an incredible number. That's 96% of the wilds that are still left out there. And so, you know,
But that's also why this state is always crying for more money, because we've got so much of our land
that's
owned by the state and the feds that pays no taxes. So the 4% gets taxed heavily to pay for all the services that the state provides. You don't have this problem in many other states because they have property taxes on the vast majority of the land in the state, whereas we don't, and that creates a problem.
And let me say, as someone, you know, I travel all over this country. I am probably as well-traveled as anyone you're likely to talk to, at least within the United States. I've been everywhere. And what is singular about Oregon It, when you're driving, it's like there's only one way to get to where you're going. You know, the rest of the country, there's like a bunch of different routes.
Right.
But in Oregon, if a tree, you know, has fallen over the road you're supposed to go on, that's it.
You're screwed.
You lose.
Yep.
There is no alternative way to get there. It's kind of like a series of islands.
Yeah.
With these one, and there's like one road between each island, and that's it. And you never get this feeling in any other state.
No, that's true enough. Well, I think a lot of that's due to our terrain, too. Road building in this state's extremely difficult because of the mountains and all the rivers and streams. And,
sure.
And I understand that. But there's still no good reason why the federal government and the state government own 96% of the land in the state. There's no good excuse for that other than the EnviroWacko is saying, oh, well, we've got to preserve it for future generations. Well, if they get their way, there won't be any future generations anyway, so what's the point?
I think they're opposed to future generations, which is one of the biggest and probably least talked about issues in America today is how, you know, we're not replacing ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not having children anyway. And people talk about, this is one of the things I'm going to get into tonight also, is, you know, we talk about this whole issue with immigration, but what's rarely addressed is the underlying issue that we've stopped having babies. And the reason is because we had a generation of propaganda that children are bad and future generations are bad and humans are destroying the earth, that we should just, you know, become extinct.
Well, and if you listen to the radical feminist out there, you know, a feminist woman shouldn't be having children because they're such an inconvenience and could stop their climb up the corporate ladder. So children are bad. I was reading an article just last night on the anticipated problems we're going to have in the next 15 or 20 years because of the low birth rate in this country. And the birth rate is low for two reasons that were identified in the article I was looking at. Number one is because radical feminism has convinced young women that they don't need to have children because children are anathema to their efforts to climb the economic ladder. And the other thing is abortion on demand. A lot of young people, they go out and they fool around. And, of course, they've been taught by the schools you don't have to be responsible for your actions. So they go out, they get pregnant, and then they have an abortion that somebody else gets to pay for. And
particularly in Oregon, if I understand
correctly. Oh, yeah. Oh, in Oregon, yeah, you can have an abortion anytime for any reason, and everybody else gets to pay for it.
And that's one of the petitions that we will have tonight at the event. We have a petition going around which would defund any public-funded abortion. So our money won't be going to pay for that, especially for, you know, people who are foreigners, you know, that's are in this country illegally. I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't want to pay for American girls, much less,
yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a case before the Supreme Court right now regarding an abortion for an illegal alien that came in. She was pregnant, and she wanted to get an abortion and have the American taxpayers pay for it. Well, some people took offense at that, and it's made its way up through the courts. It's now before the Supreme Court, and they're supposed to have a ruling on that, I think, by next week. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, the Supreme Court's going to be dumping a lot of interesting rulings on us in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so abortion has become, you know, a sacrament.
Oh, yeah.
And having, you know, it's kind of like, you know, opposite week. You know, it used to be having children was a sacrament. So having children is bad and abortions are good. And so, you know, and this idea about holding land for future generations means that that you don't get anywhere, you don't get to get anywhere near it.
I mean, yeah,
basically you're depriving us of the land.
Well, it's, you know, supposed to be public. Yeah, they say publicly owned, yet they limit what the public can do on their own land.
That's right, which means you put a fence around it and don't let anybody in.
Yeah,
that's what public has come to mean.
Well, the public lands now are for granola munching, Birkenstock wearing twits to go out in the woods and feel good about themselves without having a clue as to what they're looking at.
If the public can be prosecuted for trespassing for setting foot on it, I don't think it's public land.
No, it isn't. But that's the way it is. You know, back on the abortion thing too. Statistically, it's poor black women and poor Hispanic women that predominantly get abortions in this country nowadays. And with all the talk of racism, you know, everything's racist. Hell, I'm racist. Just ask any lib out there. But isn't it a little bit racist to be killing black and Hispanic babies in numbers greater than the majority whites?
If you want to understand the left, the first thing you need to understand is that they don't believe in anything.
No, they don't.
They say stuff because they think it will achieve some objective they have in the immediate sense. So they'll say whatever they need to say.
Whatever is expedient at the moment.
That's correct. But it is a movement without an ideology, which takes a little while to understand this, but it's completely true. It's a movement about power.
Right.
They want to get and hold and acquire additional power. Actual ideology, actual principles are non-existent. So they screw over their own causes all the time. I mean, for example, you know, Sweden, you know, up until last year,
right,
was the most feminist country in the world. There was feminism everywhere. Nothing mattered more than feminism. And then they decided the next goal on the progressive agenda is to invite in, you know, a couple million Arabs from the Middle East. And now Swedish women can't walk down the street without being sexually assaulted, you know, five times between, you know, here and the mailbox. And And the leftists in Sweden are making excuses for this.
Oh, yeah.
The same leftists who would never make an excuse for Harvey Weinstein are now making excuses for the Muslims. Well, it's a cultural thing. They just don't understand
right.
that you can't just grab some strange woman by the breast as she's walking past you on the street. You know, we just have to give them classes on how not to do that. In German, I'm sorry, I can't say this without laughing. In German swimming pools in Germany, they have. I saw this just the other day. They have these signs. And it's like a cartoon drawing. You know, it's like
right.
an image where it's like a female in a bathing suit, and there's a hand reaching for her butt, and the hand has like a circle with a slash.
Oh, right, yeah.
Say, dude, this is like, so you don't have to speak the language. This is like an international sign of please don't grab women's butts when you're in, that this is their solution.
Sweden just had another thing too. Sweden had a pilot program. I think it lasted 3 years, where everybody was guaranteed a minimum income.
Right. They just canceled that, didn't they?
Yeah, they just canceled it. They found out they can't afford it.
They can't afford that.
Well,
huh?
What happened, they came up with this idea. Well, you know, it's Norway, I guess. I'm sorry. Yeah, Bill just corrected me. It's Norway. But they had this program that everybody resident in the country got a minimum amount of money every year, supposedly a livable wage. Well, it would have probably been okay if all things would have remained equal. But what happened, once they told people, well, you know, you're going to get X number of dollars the first of every month, whether you do anything or not. Well, a lot of people decide, well, why should I get up in the morning and go to work? I'm going to get paid anyway. So they didn't. Well, what happened? Their economy started to tank, and they found out that the government couldn't afford it anymore, so they phased it out, I think, beginning last month. So,
well, this gets back to what the definition of wealth is.
Yes.
It's not money, it's productivity.
Yeah.
People, you know, and what makes people produce is necessity.
Yeah.
You know, this is the last time I was speaking in North Bend. We were talking about how to become a billionaire.
Right.
And I said the secret to becoming a billionaire. Yeah, you were there, I think. Secret to becoming a billionaire is that at some point you have to have $500 million.
Right.
And not be satisfied with it. that's the secret. Because 99.99% of Americans, if you gave them $500 million, would say, that's it. Check, please.
Right.
I am out of here. You will never see me within 100,000 miles of anything that looks like work. I'll be on the beach with a pina colada in one hand and a blonde swimsuit model in the other hand, and that's it.
I'm up for that. Where do I sign up?
I was going to say, I'd be found dead in a hotel in Reno, you know?
Yeah, the first thing about becoming a billionaire is to have a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
But not be satisfied. So the point is that every single person in the world, you know, has a kind of a spectrum, kind of like a thermometer. There's like a point at which they will be satisfied and lose interest in working. And if you guarantee a minimum income for people, you just take a huge chunk of the population and say that, you know, if we say, you know, you don't have to worry about shelter, you don't have to worry about food, you don't have to worry about clothing because we're giving this minimum income, a big chunk of the population is simply going to check out.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, that's it. And you'll still have like the next group of people who want more than that. They want vacations in Europe. They want a summer home. They're not satisfied with just food and clothing and shelter. They want to drive a nice car, not just a
right.
cheap car. But you're going to lose this massive chunk of the population. And as I suspect, as you go up the line, it gets rarer and rarer and rarer. It's thin air up there.
Right.
So it's kind of a pyramid, and you're losing the whole base of the pyramid, which I'm guessing might be half the working population of the country.
Well, right now.
Which means you won't have stuff. Which is what the people actually want. They don't want green pieces of paper. They want the stuff that's produced.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. They don't understand. If there's not people out there working to make the stuff that they think they want, they can't get it for any amount of money. The way you have stuff available is you have people making stuff and you pay them to make it and pay them enough so that they can afford to buy the stuff that they make for other people.
And that they won't get it if they don't produce.
If they don't work,
they
don't.
That is a fundamental. This is as old as the Bible.
The Bible's pretty simple.
You have to toil and spin to get the stuff that you want.
Yeah, the Bible's pretty simple. If you don't work, you don't eat. Hey, we got to take a break here, and let's give something away. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and one in Reedsport. And they've authorized me to give away some freebies as a sign of appreciation to all of their customers out there in the area. So what I have in my hot little hand, I have a certificate for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice. I have another one for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meals. Complete meal. You know, you get the fries and a drink along with it. This one's kind of appropriate for today. One free dessert of your choice.
And here I thought there was no such thing as a free lunch.
Well, there is on the Jim Bice Show.
I was mistaken.
Well, it's not free. The owner of McDonald's is paying for it. But it's free to my listeners.
Okay.
And then I've got another certificate for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, as well as a sheet of coupons, which are basically buy one, get one free on a number of different products. And I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3 and win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And I'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. How do you save money on brake work? Not by skimping, say the experts, who claim a bargain brake job seldom is a bargain. Instead, they say invest in the best brake service available, drive sensibly, and of course, practice preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance includes a periodic inspection of brake components to stay ahead of excessive wear of your brake rotors and drums. If you have squeaky brakes, they may be getting worn out and need to be replaced.
Make it a point now to have your brakes checked by Tom's Bulldog Automotive. They'll make sure your brakes are working properly and your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call them at Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a new or used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, "Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up?" The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year mortgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And, of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Well, welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Lauren Spivak. We're talking about economics, basically, and socialism and how those two tie together.
You were just saying after the I just want to stick this in. You were saying right before we went to the break about how if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
There's a fascinating line from Lenin on this about the difference between that model and capitalism and socialism, which is in socialism, if you don't obey,
you
don't eat.
Right,
and that's the difference between the two.
And. Yeah, see, and the primary problem with socialism that most people overlook is that is human nature. Human nature is such that if you're getting something for nothing, you're not inclined to work for it if you're going to get it for free anyway. That's just a human nature thing. And the other part is that human nature dictates that somebody's always going to be in charge. And the problem with socialism is that it is, in the long run, it's so unfair to the majority that people get tired of it and they rebel. So what you end up with is a dictatorship, kind of like we ended up with in Russia and China and other places, where the ideas are so wonderful that you have to use government intervention and force to compel people to comply.
Well, Hayek talks about this. He says that in a capitalist model, people can, I mean, they may not, but they can come to accept that what they're getting paid, you know, is commensurate with what they're producing.
Right.
Let's say if I go all over town and no employer will pay me any more than my current one, it's because obviously nobody sees any more productive.
Yeah, obviously you don't have saleable skills if somebody's willing to pay more.
That's right. The skills I have, I've already reached the maximum, which of course is an iron law of economics. In a free market, my employer cannot pay me more than the productivity that I'm giving to him.
Exactly.
That's a ceiling on what he can possibly pay me. But where were we? When you, you know, when you try to tamper with that, what you end up with is a system where people are never going to be satisfied, because in the very nature of socialism is that somebody's going to be on top, like a Bernie Sanders.
Right.
In capitalism, nobody's on top.
Right.
Okay. People think that capitalists decide the wages of their employees, and they do not.
No, the market.
That's right. The boss if the boss gets it wrong, if he pays his workers either too much or too little, he will go out of business.
That's right.
The job of the entrepreneur is to guess what this particular employee is worth, and the better he is at guessing this, the better of an entrepreneur he is. So they do not decide these things. Now, in socialism, somebody on top, if Bernie Sanders becomes the next president of the United States, then he decides what everybody gets paid. And Hayek's point is that you will never make everybody happy with that.
There's no formula
from on high where you can say this is what you get, this is what he gets, this is what she gets, this is what everybody gets in the whole country. Well, you are inevitably going to make vast numbers of people unhappy because everyone thinks that they're worth more.
Well, of course. I'm worth a gazillion bucks an hour. Just ask me.
That's right.
But there's a movement back in Washington, D.C. There's a handful of Democrats now that are pushing. They want to enact legislation that would cap CEO pay in private corporations. Why is it the government's job to tell a corporation how much to pay their people?
And what a bad idea. I mean, bad idea, because you're limiting people to something that the government has sustained that they're not worth, when they could be bringing in a lot more money because they're able to go out and get a better salary and generate more for another business.
That sounds like a great way to run off our most productive people and send them to other countries.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the factors, and we can talk at great length about why this is, but it's an absolute fact of the modern economy, is that certain people are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly more productive than other people. You know, the productivity of a Mark Zuckerberg, and you can like him or not, and I've got mixed feelings about him myself, but, you know, he invents Facebook.
Right.
And the impact that has on the world compared to the impact, you know, of the guy at Jiffy Lube who did my oil change yesterday. I mean, the salary reflects the reality. That this wealth is being produced. And I'll tell you something else. I love to quote Adam Smith because he puts everything the best. He says, and I'm going to mess this up slightly, but I'm close. He says, the power to direct other men in how to employ their capital is so dangerous that it could be trusted to no council or senate, whatever, and would nowhere be more dangerous than in the hands of a man who had the folly and the presumption to think himself fit to exercise it.
Right.
And that's Washington in a nutshell. The very fact that you think you can make a better judgment than the market about who should get what shows how dangerous you are.
Well, and you know, along those lines, these same twits who all happen to be Democrats that are pushing for this nonsense, they snivel and whine that their CEOs out there are making multi-millions of dollars a year in salary and benefits. Yet how many of those people that are complaining about it, that want to put a cap on other people's income, how many of those idiots are capable of doing the job that multi-million dollar a year executive is doing? It's to some degree, socialism preys on human emotion. The primary one is jealousy, because the bottom line on socialism is that if you're not making as much as your neighbor is, then somehow that it's not your fault, it's your neighbor's fault for making too much. And somehow, according to their rationalization, your neighbor owes that excess to you.
Well, I don't even remember who said this, but somebody said that socialism is nothing more than the grandiose rationalization of petty grievances.
Basically, and that's what... Well,
what was one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet? I think that covers it, too.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But Well, nobody pays attention to the Bible anymore.
I'm sorry. I brought up that old thing.
And the Constitution, you know, the Bible, the Constitution, those are passé. You know, they've only served us for, you know, the Bible served us for well over 2,000 years. The Constitution, well over 200 years. But those don't work according to liberals. We've got a new plan that's going to make, you know, the butterflies are going to fly around every day. The sun's going to shine every day. We're going to have unicorns running up and down the street. And, of course, we all know that the uniform farts help trees grow. So this is the kind of crap they're trying to push on us. And it's contrary to common sense. It's contrary to human nature.
And the people in Washington who are theoretically going to be making these decisions are people who spend other people's money.
Well, yeah, look,
you know,
at...
One thing I can say for Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg is that they're at least spending their own money.
Right.
Well, and they're producing something that people want. How many people in Washington, D.C. are producing something that anybody wants? How many are producing anything, period, other than hot air?
Hey, you can't even spread it on the field and expect flowers to grow. That's how lousy a quality it is.
Yeah, it's so rarefied that, you know, even a blade of grass doesn't recognize it. But, you know, this is where we're at in this country. And I personally lay a lot of the blame on the so-called education system. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I think our education system is an absolute disaster.
Right.
And I think that if you want to change the direction of this country, which a lot of us do, you can't even begin that until you address the educational system. I think we need to get government out of education.
I agree.
As much and as quickly as we possibly can, because they're, you know, I'm just on multiple levels, they're learning nothing. It's not like they're learning communist agitprop and some practical skills.
Right.
They're learning nothing.
They're learning
other
nothing.
Than the communist agitprop. And what you were saying about the grievances is absolutely right. The whole socialist model is to sow grievances as much as possible, because the left, and this has been true of the left for hundreds of years, this is absolutely their MO, is they want to destroy what's there. They want to tear it down. And the way you tear down America is you sow as many grievances as you possibly can.
Right.
If everybody hates everybody, your society will fall apart, and the socialists will consider that a victory. That's what they want.
Well,
and you know, my humble perspective on this is, in a society, and this perfectly describes our society, where nobody is starving. You know, it's one thing if there were people who were literally starving, if they literally
right.
couldn't survive. Nobody is starving. In fact, I think 46% of people under the poverty line own their own automobiles. Something like 25% of people under the poverty line own two automobiles.
Right.
You know, this is over 90% of people who live under the poverty line have cable television.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this
and
is,
how many of them are obese?
Right. Okay. This is so it, nobody is doing without, in a sense that's threatening their life or their survival. And if you are so bothered by the fact that Mark Zuckerberg makes more money, I'll speak for myself. Mark Zuckerberg makes more money than I will ever make in my entire life. I'm absolutely certain I will never catch up with him. And you know what? It doesn't bother me one little bit. I make enough money to have a perfectly nice life, better than 99% of the people in previous generations
right.
have had. I've got air conditioning and computers and cell phones. I got all kinds of things that rich people didn't even dream of 100 years ago. And I've got a family, and I'm happy. And the fact that Mark Zuckerberg makes a million times what I do does not bother me at all. If it bothers you, something's wrong with you.
You got that right. And that music coming up in the background means we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors. And, of course, we're going to hear some drivel and propaganda and probably some out-and-out lies from lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, suffer through it, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I want to switch gears a little bit here. I've still got Lawrence Bivak in the studio, and he's going to break in where it's appropriate. But we kind of touched on a couple of things in our discussion in last hour, and I kind of want to carry through on this. It has to do with terminology. How we've allowed liberals to change the terminology, which is in turn changing our society, or at least the perception of our society. It's a little-known fact, although it's not noticed very often, that we no longer conduct our politics in the language of the founders. What that means is we no longer think politically in the same terms that the founding fathers of this country thought. Although American founding was all about unalienable rights, the phrase unalienable rights has gone missing from the conversation in American politics today. In day-to-day politics, rights are bandied about. You know, you hear about rights all the time. We got civil rights. We got women's rights. We got gay rights. We got the rights of Gaia, the earth goddess. We have rights coming out of our ears, but we never hear about unalienable rights. And this would, you know, this would freak out the founding fathers if they were here today. After all, the claim of the Declaration of Independence was that we're all created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's the claim at the core of the whole idea of America. That's the American principle of individual liberty. And it's a single claim. It's an individual right. It's not a group right. It's not a compound of several ideas. For the founders, unalienable rights and our natural equality are two ways of stating the same thing. John Adams kind of made this pretty clear to us in some of his writings. He said, all people are born free and equal and have certain natural, essential, and unalienable rights. That's what we have. To be born free and equal is to have certain unalienable rights. And here in America, thanks to our founding fathers, thanks to our Declaration of Independence and our United States Constitution, we have more individual freedom as American citizens than anyone in the entire history of mankind. And here's the difference between regular unalienable rights and the rights that the liberals are trying to force on us that don't exist. Nobody, not now, not in the past, and not in the future, is born with the right to rule other people. Nobody has that right, either by descent, like in the British monarchy, or by nature, for example, the Aryan master race that Hitler was promoting. If a monarch or members of this master race had by birth the right to rule over us, we wouldn't have liberty. Our rulers would have the right to do with us as they please. That no one is born with the right to rule over another person means that we are born as free and equal as individuals. We're all equal at birth. Nobody has any more or any less than anybody else. Now, when you talk about this equality, all men are created equal. But what you do after that moment of creation is entirely up to you. You know, you can choose to sit on your butt and do nothing your whole life and become a sponge and a parasite on society. I think I just described liberalism. Or you can decide, hey, you know, it's a big wide world out there. There's lots of good stuff, and I want to achieve this, this, and this. And you get your butt out of bed, and you go to work in the morning, and you wake up some morning and find out, hey, you know, I've achieved a lot of this. But the reason for that achievement is because of the fact that you were born with unalienable rights as individuals. Liberalism wants to take that away. You know, America fought the British to settle that question at the founding, and then we fought Hitler and the Nazis to preserve that settlement in the 20th century. This principle of individual liberty is a core principle of the Constitutional Republic that the founders gave to us. No, we are not a democracy. I just want to scream every time I hear some talking head or some idiot politician or some, I can't say that on the air.
That was
teacher,
close.
Teacher telling people that this country is a democracy. It is not. It is a representative constitutional republic.
And that goes for you Republicans and TV anchors on Fox News, too.
Absolutely. It goes for all of them. But individual liberty is a core principle.
I was mentioning before, liberalism does not believe in principles.
They're unprincipled.
So you can't have inalienable rights because that means that it can't be taken away from you. And they want the keep maintaining the right to take away your liberties is a fundamental part of the progressive agenda. To say, you know, the way we're talking, for example, about gun control these days is all based on the premise that this is a negotiable thing, that whether or not, you really have that right depends on how many school shootings there are.
Three and a half
more school shootings and that right goes away.
Right.
I guess the term shall not be infringed is just more than most liberals can comprehend.
Well, the unalienable, you know, you were talking about the right to take away somebody's right. That right there is the statement that's being taught in the schools. You have a right to take away someone's right, and they're marching for that in the street.
Well, what do you expect? Now, this is all being pushed by one political party. Okay? It's all being pushed by one political party. They
couple of years ago voted in Congress, that party, to amend the Constitution to take away the First Amendment and allow Congress to restrict political speech. The Democrats actually voted for that, I think it was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, and England is going through that right now. In fact, they've all but stifled individual speech.
They're arresting on average 9 people a day for having the wrong opinion posted online.
Yeah,
Jim would be arrested 9 times a day then.
At least. Maybe that many times an hour. But here's the thing. The whole premise of socialism, liberalism, progressivism, communism, it's all one and the same thing. The whole premise of that is to deprive people of individual rights and move people into groups. One of the things that the libs have been very successful at is the old divide and conquer. Look at our society right now. We have been divided by gender. We now have radical feminists out there telling us that toxic masculinity is horrible, and there have even been some of these radical feminists that have proposed to get rid of men altogether. And then we have the race issue. Let's pit the various races against one another. And then we have sexual orientation. Let's pit people against each other for that. And religion and economic status. The libs have done everything they possibly can to divide our society against itself, and then they come back to reorganize it, and you're no longer an individual. You can't be a black conservative in America without taking a lot of heat. You've got to conform to the group that the liberals have cubbyholed you into.
And then you have new rights that no one ever heard of before.
That never existed.
The right to use the ladies' room when you're a man.
Yeah.
See, this is a brand new right. You're free speech and keeping and bear arms, that's out. But now you can go into the ladies' room as a man. That's your new right.
Well, I would. You know, they probably wouldn't want to do that with my wife. They would have a bad hair day, and rightfully so. But, you know, the question we need to ask, how did this change to our political thinking come about? It took over 100 years. Over a century ago, the American so-called progressives set out to dismantle the American Constitution piece by piece. In a word, progressively. They rejected the idea of limited constitutional government. Their stumbling block was the American people's reverence for the idea of unalienable rights, individual rights. The problem for the progressives was that the unalienable rights inherently place limits on what government can do. That is, on government power. And if you listen to libs, everything they do, it's about power, pure and simple. Them being in power, them calling the shots. You know, they have no real hardcore platforms on what they think is going to make America better or what they think it would take to make America great. In fact, if you use Trump's slogan, "Make America Great Again," liberals come totally unglued. They don't understand, especially the younger ones that have been indoctrinated in the public. I hate to use the term schools or education system because it isn't. It's an indoctrination system. They're indoctrination centers.
Behavioral modification center.
Exactly. But they've got us and it's working. That's the problem. So unalienable rights had to be pushed out of the way because it was contrary to liberals assuming power without giving anything back. See, the liberal idea of power is, okay, I'm at the top of the heap. I'm going to dictate to all of you exactly how you're going to live. And we're going to use the full power of government to do that. And we see examples of that almost every day. But the government is not supposed to have the power to tell individuals what they may or may not do. It was never intended. So progressivism or liberalism or communism or any of the other isms that they apply to their side are just dead wrong, and they're contrary not only to human nature, but they're contrary to the founding of this country. You know that the progressives have managed to remove the term unalienable rights from our political discourse shows how successful they've been in replacing the founders' principle of individual liberty with their ideas of group rights and government control and just about everything else, and the idea that no one is responsible for anything.
You know, Jim, I was just going to say, the problem is that we've got a Bill of Rights. The Founding Fathers should have added on to that the Bill of Responsibilities.
Yes.
Where they say you have the responsibility to take care of yourself. You have the responsibility to raise your children. You have the responsibility for your education, for your health care, for your retirement.
For your
That's
housing.
That's your yes. responsibility.
Yes.
That's where we kind of went wrong with that.
It was when we started abdicating our own individual responsibility to government and allowing government to dictate to us how we should live, including how we should think.
And if I may just square the circle on that a little bit, individual rights, you're absolutely right, individual rights and individual responsibilities go hand in hand. Okay, the two,
they're one and the same.
That's correct. Absolutely. And it's why you can't have group rights.
No.
Because group rights have, how can you have group responsibility? You see, that parallelism breaks down at that point.
But see, that's exactly what liberals are pushing right now and have been for at least 50 years.
But it doesn't make sense. Groups are not responsible for things. Individuals are. And groups can't have rights. Only individuals can have rights.
But if you look at our legislation, if you look at our laws, if you look at what's happening in our culture on social media, everything is geared towards moving people away from individual rights and individual responsibility and putting all the responsibility on government and allowing government to dictate what rights we may or may not have as individuals.
Oh, for sure. An example, if I may. I'm one of those rare conservatives who actually thinks that the police in the United States shoot too many unarmed people. But the secret of it is that most of the unarmed people who are shot by the police are white.
Yeah.
And nobody cares.
Well.
Okay? Literally, the majority are white.
Oh, by a significant amount.
And the news media has decided to simply say there's no care. So if a black person is shot by police, then the story is a black person was shot by police.
Right.
If a white person is shot by the police, you just don't cover it
there's
at
no
all.
There's no story.
There's no story at all. There was I was watching the video just the other day of this white gentleman who was unarmed and had committed no crime whatsoever, who was gunned down, he was killed, crawling on his hands and knees through the lobby of a hotel in Phoenix 2 years ago. And the police officer was, of course, acquitted because they're always acquitted.
Right.
We've got a problem there, but we can't see it on any terms other than racial terms because this is a group thing, you know, as opposed to an individual thing.
Well, you know, there's another facet of that, too. And police are just like everybody else. They're people. You've got some good ones. You've got some bad ones.
Sure.
And the vast majority of the police, I think, are good. I've gone on several ride-alongs with the cops. And it changed my perspective. If you're a cop out there, the most dangerous thing a cop can do is a traffic stop. Did you know that?
Sure.
Because you don't know what you're getting into. Sure. And nationally, there's been a lot of cops injured and killed in traffic stops. So they're understandably a little bit paranoid. Personally, if I were a cop, if I was making a traffic stop, I'd have my partner holding down on that stop car with a 12-gauge, and I would be sneaking up along the side of the car with my pistol drawn to demand to see their license registration.
The balance between the safety of officers, which I think everyone agrees with, and the safety of the guy who's been pulled over, which I think everyone agrees with, is the issue. And I think the balance has become somewhat skewed. But the news media and the forces in government refuse to see this as anything other than a racial issue, and it's clearly not a racial issue.
No.
You know, it's a training issue. The traffic stops should be less dangerous for everybody.
They should.
Not just the officers.
The problem is, and I've discussed this with the police, the problem is the existing laws tie their hands. They're put in a position where they're the ones taking all the risk, and the person that they stopped has all the legal rights. And that again, is due to liberalism, because liberalism cannot allow anything other than liberalism to have any sort of control. And police have control, so we've got to vilify the police. Prime example is what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. You've got a young black thug that had just robbed a store.
Sure.
And a cop stopped him, and the guy tried to take the cop's gun away from him, so he shot the cop. Then whose fault is it, according to the media? Well, it was that evil cop that shot that poor unarmed black man.
Sure.
Who was, I mean, this
and,
kid
and,
was like.
And the same week as Ferguson.
Yes.
A white motorist in Texas was unarmed, was shot and killed by a black police officer in Texas.
Right.
And that got no news coverage at all.
None whatsoever.
So, you know, this is roughly akin to what they did in Nazi Germany. You know, if a Jew committed a crime, it would be in every single paper in Germany.
Oh, absolutely.
And if a non-Jew commits a crime, you ignore it altogether. So you very quickly create the impression that it only happens like this.
Right.
And most people are astounded to find that that most of these shootings do not involve minorities.
No, they don't. That's
not a small point.
No, but it's totally overlooked by the media and liberals. We got to take a break here. What I'm going to do, since we're way over time, I'm going to combine two breaks and get it over with. And we'll give something away at the next break. Okay. Things are getting a little messed up here as far as our scheduling, but that's okay because as long as we're making valid points, I don't want to stop until the thought's completed. So we're going to take a break here, suffer through it. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With the cold, harsh winter months behind us and summer right around the corner, you want to make sure your tires are ready for your adventure. Whether it's off-roading, a drive up the coast, or to the mountains, you want to drive with confidence that only Cooper Tires can provide. With a wide selection of Cooper Tires, Far West Tire and Auto has all your tire needs covered. Stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember, folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life,
and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price for first to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct. Giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. After that extremely long break, we're still having some computer problems, so bear with us. It's going to get better, trust me. They've got new hardware on the way. We've got a new software program. It's just a matter of getting it up and running, and, you know, with eight radio stations, it doesn't happen overnight. But anyway, I want to get back to this. You know, with the exception of the United States of America, never in the history of mankind has any government ever been established based on the idea of individual rights. Never. We're the first. But now our unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness have been replaced by an ever-expanding list of so-called rights that are really group entitlements requiring an ever-expanding role for government. If you go back, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and I read through this thing over the weekend again, it had been a while, proclaimed that the right to rest and leisure, the well-being of himself and his family, the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of his family, including food, clothing, housing, medical care, and necessary social services. That's all included in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
If I may, that was
in 1948.
Wow. If I may, I will give you a little news flash on the subject of rights.
Okay.
Rights have to be negative. The only legitimate rights in the world are negative rights, that say rights from something, not rights to something.
Right.
Every single right in our Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, they're all rights to be left alone.
Exactly.
They're not rights to get anything. And the reason why you cannot have a right to something is that somebody else has to provide it. And so you are inevitably compromising their rights to give you the right. If I say you have a right to food, whether you pay for it or not, I'm taking away the right of the farmer to earn a living.
That's right.
Okay. So that the issue is as straightforward as that. There's really only one right, and all the things in the Constitution are just different manifestations of the same thing. You have basically one human right, and that is the right to be left alone.
Pretty much. Well, the way I've analogized it, and I've used this for years, as Americans, we each and every one of us have an individual right to do pretty much anything we damn well please, as long as we don't screw over somebody else in the process. That's what freedom is.
Sure. And another way of looking at this is, let's imagine you were all by yourself on a desert island like Robinson Crusoe.
Right. Okay?
You have all of those constitutional rights because they're negative rights. You can practice your religion. You've got free speech. You can bear arms. Every single right in the Constitution belongs to you. What you don't have is those United Nations rights. Where's your right to leisure time?
Yeah.
And to food and medical
and
care.
And a livable income. Yeah.
You don't have anything. Whatever you want, you better get to work. And make
well, the only
you
way.
You're going to sit on the beach and say, I got these rights.
The only way you can get the rights.
Is to get them somewhere
else. That the United Nations claims we should all have is if you infringe on somebody else's rights.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line. You cannot infringe on other people's rights, but that's what liberals advocate for every day.
And what you were talking about power, that power is the force that government has to take from one individual and give to the other.
Exactly. Well, I've got some good examples here. Today, the liberals, the left, claims that boys who identify as female are entitled to use a girl's showers. And the male prisoners who identify as female are entitled to be housed with the women prisoners. That illegal aliens are entitled to the same rights and privileges.
I was actually hoping for that one myself in case, you know, I ever end up in prison.
In prison, yes. I'm going to identify as a female. I imagine we all would at that point.
I am demanding the women's prison.
Okay? And we're all going to be there together going, where are the women?
And under liberalism, you'd be able to do it. Yeah. But, you know... The thing is, the liberals' version of rights means that I will grant you certain rights, but those rights infringe on other people's rights and screw them because they don't vote for us. That's basically the attitude. This ever-expanding list of government entitlements.
That's back to if you don't obey, you don't eat.
It basically, yeah.
It's power politics as opposed to individual
but,
freedom.
You know, all of this is the root of our ever expanding federal and state intrusion into our lives and the ever diminishing liberty in American life.
And on economic terms, it goes back to what we were saying at the very beginning, that every time you guarantee this, you know, one of these to somebody,
right.
You're taking an entire chunk of the population out of productivity.
Yeah.
Because people will say, well, if I get this and I get that and I get that, I'm all set. I don't have to be rich. I'll just watch television and you give me all that free stuff and we're all set. And as you do this, you're just moving up the more of these phony rights to other people's
right.
productivity that you have, you just move up through the population
but,
until nobody is producing anything.
But how
anymore.
Many of your rights have been infringed by giving somebody something they didn't work for? Somebody's paying for it.
It's bad because it's an infringement, but it's also just from a simple economic level.
Yeah.
You're not going to have this.
Can't work.
It can't work. That's right.
Yeah.
Because the work you need to produce these things
You have to produce food. You have to produce housing. You have to produce all the consumer goods we all think we can't live without.
And if people get them without doing production on their own, they're not going to produce.
Nor do they appreciate what they have.
That's right. And it falls under its own weight, which is why in places where they actually have real socialism, you know, like the Soviet Union and Venezuela and Cuba and North Korea, you don't hear any of this nonsense about, you know, about, oh, I get a right to leisure time and to use the ladies' room. What you get is you better get back to work.
You have a right to keep your mouth shut and do what you're told else.
That's right. Or you're and going to a concentration
see, and
camp.
That's what they're trying to inflict on the people of America. You know, the evident endpoint of progressivism is a post-American America in which everything is either forbidden or required with no individual choices. That's what they're after. They want government to dictate everything you do. Now,
and I suspect all of this silliness about the rights of whom you're going to shower with will all go away as soon as they're in power.
Right.
Pretty much, all it is a means to an end.
It's a means to tear down the basis of the current society so they can replace it with what they want.
Right. And I just looked at the clock. Let's do something. We're going to do something new, folks. We're going to take a break on time. I know that's practically unheard of on this show. But we're going to soften the blow by giving something away. I know everybody hates it when I give stuff away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. You know, I don't know why I even announced that. Everybody knows where they're at. They're open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. And you can dine in, you can carry out, and they deliver. And I know that extremely well because a couple times a month I get lazy. My wife and I get involved in stuff, don't want to cook. So we just pick up the phone and we order from Lucky Star, and they deliver fresh, hot, great Chinese food. So what they're offering to my listeners is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. Like my pigeon Chinese there, fried rice. Anyway, it's a lot of food. It's enough food for about three people. And I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3, and you get this terrific house special dinner from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. And we'll be right back.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Basin Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Basin Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
Okay, I guess we're back. Still having those computer problems, but we're working on it. Anyway, you know what we're talking about. America is in a position now. We've let this go way too long. We've got to take back America from these progressives and liberals and commies, and we need to restore America back to the founders' principle of liberty. And that isn't going to be easy. The progressives have captured the commanding heights. They populate the permanent administrative state. They own the courts, the media, academia, idiots in Hollywood, and they're determined to have their way. They don't care about people. You know, anytime you hear a lib get up there and say, well, the people want this and the people want that, when they start their commentary with the people want this or the people want that, you automatically know they're lying because they don't have a clue what the people want. That's the problem. The people are still sovereign in this country, whether they like it or not. And we saw proof of that when the people, the normal people, the real people, elected Donald Trump as president. If we're going to turn the tide, every single one of us, and I'm talking to everybody, including myself, each of us must first learn or relearn to think like an individual, not as a member of a group. You know, we're not herd animals. We're human beings. We have the capability of thinking for ourselves, but see, liberals do not want you to think for yourself. They want to expand on the herd mentality. You know, our past generations have learned this the hard way, and hopefully it won't take another war or major upheaval for this generation to learn. But learn we must. Then we've got to reach out to our circle of influence. That's our friends, neighbors, relatives, people we work with. And beyond that, as far as we can, to help our fellow Americans also learn to think like founders and think for themselves. That's the key, folks. You got to learn to think for yourself. Quit paying attention to what some idiot talk show host says, including this one, including me. Check it out. Don't trust me. How many other talk show hosts have you ever heard tell you, don't trust them to check it out? But I do that all the time. For the 30-odd years off and on that I've been on the air, I have always told people, don't trust me. Check it out for yourself. You've got to think for yourself. That's at the core of being an American. The problem with libs is their ideologues. They're never going to get out of their ideology. And the people that believe that nonsense believe things that are just patently not true. And the problem with educating them is they are so certain that what they think they believe is true that they're not even willing to question their beliefs. And I got news for you, folks. Every single one of us on a daily basis should be questioning our own beliefs. I question my beliefs almost every day. You know, why do I believe this? Why do I believe that? And if I can't find any substance or factual evidence to support my position, then it's time to start looking at a different position, isn't it? But liberals never do that. Liberals never do that. They are so convinced that they've got all the answers, that they're right all the time, that they actually see everybody else as being less than what they are. They're the elitists. They're the enlightened ones. They're the woke ones. And us normal people out here are nothing more than a bunch of idiots that they've got to guide and teach us, you know, how to live according to their standards. And their standards have nothing to do with individual liberty. They've demonstrated that for the last 100-odd years. Anyway, How's this fit in with your economic philosophies? Am I right or wrong? Yeah.
Oh, you're right. The society based, and you're particularly right about the uniqueness of the United States, and the society that's based on this kind of individual freedom,
right?
With minimalist government that never existed before, has created the greatest prosperity ever in the history of the world.
That's right.
It's a difficult thing to measure, but the estimates that I've read are that we today, the average American today, is somewhere between 2,500 and 5,000 times wealthier than our ancestors were 200 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just in 200 years. There's never been, and what's fascinating is that it's not a growth in prosperity, you know, for the wealthy people in society. Every society in the history of the world has always had an elite, and they always could boss other people around. That's been here forever.
Right.
But what's unique is that this was the regular people who have automobiles and air conditioning and all of these amazing
equipment. Yeah, all of our poor people that have TVs, computers, cell phones, microwaves, one or two cars, they're the poor people. And we've got a caller here. We've got David from Coos Bay. David, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Jim, I just wanted to give you a call and tell you, you know, Thurgood Marshall put it right. He said, the right to be let alone is the right at the beginning of all freedom.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a refugee from California. I've been up here 4 years here in Coos Bay. And, now I'm dealing with Kate Brown. Me and my wife, we're talking about it. We said, you know, we're done. We're going to Alabama, you know. And I feel like Davy Crockett. You know, the hell of Congress. I'm going to Texas. I'm done. And we've got 40 acres down in Alabama that my mom has. We're fed up. We're leaving.
See if you can get a new senator down there.
Well, you know, I know they don't have half the laws that California, Oregon has. I drive truck, and I was up at the Spaghetti Bowl up there in Portland, and I'm looking, what the hell's going on here? It looked like the zoo with all the bars on the freeways.
Yeah.
To keep the homeless out. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they spent all that money on all those bars. I expect to see some giraffes or gorillas in there or something. And I see all the homeless all up there. There's more security at the Walmart in Portland than an airport.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is – I've just done – I've had –
Well,
and the taxes here – I'm seeing all for sale signs here in Coos Bay because of school.
Yeah.
They passed that stupid-ass tax. Now everybody's leaving.
Yep.
Getting the hell out of here.
Well, didn't I say that's what would happen?
Yes, you did. And you could ride down the road and see all for sale signs.
Yep.
All the elderly, all the retired are just packing up, said we've had enough.
Well, here's the problem, David. Way too many people, you know, they don't teach anything in school, particularly I don't think they teach basic physics anymore. Do you remember Newton's third law? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yep.
Well, that applies not only to physics, but it applies to human interaction, too. For everything you say or do with or for or to someone today, there's going to be an impact tomorrow. And the problem with liberals is they never see tomorrow. It's what feels good today. And then beyond that, well, we'll deal with it when it happens. And time has proven they haven't been very successful at doing that either. So,
well, you know, I'm listening to radio and laughing, going, oh, Google's going to put a head tax on them up there. You know what? Google's going to be fixing that one property up, and they're going to be gone.
What's going to leave it, buddy?
And I can tell you that now.
Yeah, what's going to happen to Amazon to Seattle when Amazon decides, okay, we've had enough of your crap, we're leaving. Boeing,
you know, the others.
Both companies have indicated that they're not going to put up with that crap.
No, they're not.
Hey, I'm running.
And, you know, and my wife works at a local convenience store down here. And she's talking about how these guys are coming in with food stamps, buying Monsters and candy bars and shit. You know, go get a job.
Yeah.
I work hard David,
you can't talk over the host, David. You said a bad word, so we had to cut you off.
Yeah,
you
that wasn't
do
good.
That.
Yeah.
You can't do that on this show. And I appreciate David's call, but he just got a little out of hand. But
yeah.
We've only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to let Lauren kind of have those couple minutes. Tell us about your meeting tonight, where it's at, and what you want to talk about, and why people should come out and listen to you.
Well, we're at the North Bend Library at 7 o'clock, and my talk is going to be about why capitalism is pro-life, in which I'm going to try to help people to understand the wonders of capitalism and how freedom leads to prosperity and how humans are the only species on the planet that make each other wealthier. It's a really beautiful and unique thing. And what I think it's called Ask the Economist. Is that not so?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, what I think I'm hoping we can do also is have a chance to answer people's questions
right.
about what's going on in our economy today with the price of gasoline and trade with China and the omnibus spending bill.
Those are all things I want to talk about. Quantitative easing and how it's gone. Well, I hear the music, so.
Yep.
So join us tonight, 7 o'clock, North Bend Library.
Okay, very good. And I hope people go out and listen to you because I just from talking to you, I know it's going to be educational. And I have read one of your books. Anyway, we're out of time this week. 2 hours just flies past. I can't believe it. But I will be back next week. No, I won't because next week's Memorial Day. I'll be back the week after. So tough it out. Hang in there. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Go out there and you have a great holiday weekend next week.
Finally, the way talk should be heard, 6:30 and 100.